I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name's David Reed, and this man here is Marek Larwood. Hello, Marek.
Hello, David.
What, you're being very suspicious? What do you think I've done?
It's very difficult for you to... I don't know what you imagine, what the audience is when they listen to this podcast. When the millions of people listen to this podcast, what they imagine. But you turned and gave me an odd look there, so that's why I said hello, David.
Okay.
But obviously, when people listen to this, they're entitled to imagine whatever they like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're probably imagining us both sitting on inflatable... hippos.
Hippos, yeah, sure.
In a pool in Los Angeles.
Yeah, wearing our tops.
Angeles. Wearing no tops.
No tops and monocles.
And wet jeans.
Wet jeans, that's a band name. That's a good band name.
Drinking
pina
coladas.
I'm waiting for the day when somebody chooses to animate over 200 episodes of us.
Animations of us. Me slowly getting more bitter.
So
we're going to talk about films.
Yeah, it's films again, I'm afraid. We've rolled the dice of themes and it's come up films. So, Marek, you've been to the cinema this week.
I went to my new folk cinema, Crouch End Picture House, in the afternoon, and I went to the Silver Screen.
Silver Screen, is that the name of it, or just to see?
Silver Screen is when they when if you're a pensioner,
yeah,
you can go in for
half
price.
Oh, like silver hair.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. So did you get half price?
No, I was probably, I would say, judging by the pensioners who were in there, they were all quite rich.
Right.
And they probably owned property in Crouch End. But they all paid half the price.
Of course, yes.
They're probably the people who rent my house to me for all of my income.
But they deserve that £6.
They went into cinema for cheaper than I did. It was a small screen. There's only three rows. They put like their art house films in it.
Three rows?
Yeah. And I was really annoyed because I know it's not ethical to eat popcorn.
That's all right, isn't it?
But I couldn't eat popcorn because most of the seats were full, and I thought, oh,
why,
everyone's
why is
really
it not
quiet.
Ethical? Oh, to bring your own?
Yeah, I know, just to sort of chomp it. It was. Oh. I thought, oh, I can't eat my popcorn. And I was really pissed off because I was really hungry. And I had to sit on the front row because all the other seats were taken, which I never liked doing. But other than that, I went to see a film called Rams, which is an Icelandic film. I had a last-minute decision between Rams and Deadpool, and I went for Rams.
Because you hate superheroes.
Because I hate superheroes, but I've heard Deadpool's really good.
I've heard Deadpool's really good. Can we talk about Deadpool very briefly? Because
yes.
I found it quite funny that how much the studios just follow money. Because Deadpool, everyone's going, it's the first R-rated superhero movie.
What does R-rated mean?
R is their version of 18.
Okay.
Restricted viewing, I think, is what it means. And it's not. It's the first. They say it's the first R-rated comic book adaptation or superhero film. It simply isn't. Blade, for instance, was a lot earlier, and I'm sure there's loads of others. But it's the first Marvel film, I guess. No, Blade is Marvel. What am I talking about? Anyway, it's a R-rated film. But over here, it's only a 15.
Oh.
So it's not. It's clearly not that bad. But now that it's been a commercial success, hugely down to their marketing campaign being very, very good, all of the other studios are going, our next superhero film's going to be R-rated, guys. So superheroes are going to go into a phase of no longer being for kids, which is going to be weird, but sort of probably better. But
what has happened to culture?
I don't know. It's just all...
I can't work out whether it's me getting older. I'm sure it's part of it. But it seemed... I was doing some research for an idea, and I was looking back at the 80s, and I know everything's rehashed to a certain extent, but it did feel a lot fresher.
Yeah.
The music, and I was watching Top of the Pops from 1981.
Right.
And like Brian Ferry was number one. You know, you had Kim Wilde doing Kids in America. You had four or five songs in the top 10.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I would listen to now, like classics. And everyone was wearing different stuff, and I was watching sort of some documentaries.
Yeah,
it just seemed a lot. It is the age of just. Is it a soulless age?
No, I don't know. I think the entire history of culture, people have always stolen. They've always stolen from the past. That has always happened. It's the, you know, largely it's the only thing you can do. You can create limitedly based upon the culture you were born into and the things you absorbed growing up. You know. And this, what seems to have changed is how rampant the marketing has got and how much it's leading the charge with creating cultural things. So the marketing goes, well, people loved Ghostbusters, so if we put Ghostbusters on a poster, lots of people will come to see it. And that seems to be all the logic there is to it, you know. What the actual film is could be utterly different. It doesn't really matter, you know. I don't know. It does seem to be a bit depressing that as soon as a franchise starts to fail, they reboot it and go round again, rather than just going, well, let's try something new. The 80s did seem to do lots and lots of new... All the intellectual properties seem to have been born in the 80s, and we're still using them now. You know, Big Trouble in Little China's coming around again. They're rebooting.
Oh, I've seen the trailer for Point Break as well.
Yeah, oh, it looks... terrible.
That was a brilliant film.
Yeah, and it just, they don't have the soul of it. You can't
Keanu Reeves is perfect for it.
Yeah,
and
Patrick Swayze.
Amazing. You can't get that sort of charisma.
Well, also, the surfer dude isn't a thing anymore.
Yeah.
That's not a modern trope. The modern trope seems to be two boring, sexy men. There's no character there. There's nothing there actually that's connected to the real world. But
and that
anyway.
Is why, ladies and gentlemen, I'm out of work. On a happier note...
Yes, Rams.
Yeah. So, I sort of raved about how much I loved you for last week and how the cinema should be going somewhere completely different and really interesting. Rams is a story of two brothers in Iceland in a remote area and they breed goats and sheep.
Okay.
Not goats and sheep. Sheep, sorry. I was getting mixed up, yeah.
Goats with sheep.
Rams and sheep, sorry.
Okay,
that's why it's called rams and not goats.
Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Look, we haven't got the budget for rams. We're just going to have to put some goats in there and hope that people think they're the same thing. It's got nothing to do with goats.
Okay.
I haven't had much sleep. This is another backstory. I haven't had much sleep because my... whoever lives in the flat downstairs had someone round who started to smoke cigarettes at 5 o'clock in the morning, and it drifted up through the chimney and through the grill in my room.
That's grim.
So I've told Dave about this before. So my whole room smelt of Lambert and Butler cigarettes, like a smog, like a pub.
Yeah.
So that's why I got goats mixed up with rams. Anyway, the point. Here we go.
Right.
It's about these two brothers and. They've been breeding this type of... it's a real farming community. So you've got this beautiful landscape of just these a couple of farms and then just hills and mountains and nothing there at all.
Yeah.
And they go to this... every year they have a competition to who has the best ram. And these brothers live next door to each other, but they haven't spoken in 40 years about what you don't realise. There's hardly any dialogue in it. It's all just... one of the brothers, who the main follows, Gummy, his name is, he finds out that one of the rams has got scrapie, which basically means they have to kill the whole flock if it actually has taken place. And it's that what happens after that and how they deal with that. It is great film. It's just great filmmaking. You really feel as though you're in the middle of Iceland, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And... it's just nice to have see older actors' faces, and they can tell stories without having to. There's no exposition. It just happens, and you realise that films don't have to be shooting. It doesn't have to be. There doesn't have to be some action sequence to have action. It doesn't have to be about. Have loads of love stories to have emotion. The love could be can replace that with Rams, you know, and that's and have this weird solitary lifestyle, which is quite soothing and quite refreshing. I really loved it. If you really want to go and relax and get away from it all and watch a film about a fascinating film that feels different and fresh from everything else, go and watch Rams. It's really great.
Awesome. It sounds like a live-action, all-male version of Frozen. Two siblings in the Frozen Mountains reconciling their relationship.
Well, I haven't seen Frozen, but it does sound very similar.
Like a remake.
It sounds like they've rebooted Frozen with two old men.
Yeah, and instead of songs, Rams.
I'm a bloody hypocrite.
Well, Rams, that does sound interesting.
I'll give it 8 Marics.
8 Marics?
A high 8.
High 8? As in, like, okay, yeah, it's closer to 9, or just the 8 is quite high off the ground?
It's both.
Both, okay. Well, that's Rams, 8 Marics. Go see it. Now it's time for this. So some of you have been good enough to write into us with your letters, your thoughts, your dreams and your aspirations. And
some people like writing letters.
And someone who's done just that is Tom Saunders. And he says, if David's reading this out, I'd like him to read it in the style of Marek and vice versa. Or you can read it in the imagined voice of Buddy the dog.
That's Tom... Is that the Tom Saunders?
Who's the Tom Saunders?
From the Vauxball team, Balham Choke Hazard.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it's him.
Oh, he's a very nice man and a wonderful Vauxball player.
Incredible Vauxball player. I can't think of a bad one. Oh, no, I can. Okay, this is from Tom. Shall I do it in the voice of... no, I don't know. Buddy doesn't have a voice. I hate anthropomorphising dogs. They're charming as they are, so I'm doing it as Merrick.
Here we go.
Afternoon, chaps. I was wondering if you had any deal-breaker films. A film that, if you were on a first date and the person revealed it as their favourite, would make you silently fold up your napkin and walk out of the restaurant. I also have strong opinions about Star Wars, but we'll talk about that at a Wolfsball game, maybe, because everyone's pretty fed up with it by now. The one thing I've been finding most irritating about the new Star Wars, though, is the amount of opinion pieces about it that imply that people aren't being honest about how they feel about it. Titles like, Critics Need to Stop Being So Kind About Star Wars, or Admit It, Star Wars Sucked, as if only that blogger is brave enough to tell the truth! If it's David, blah blah blah. Keep watching the films, Tom Saunders, Captain of the Balham Choke Hazard. Yes. Have you saw Star Wars?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, you saw Star Wars. Well, to address Tom's first question, are there any deal-breaker films that if you went on a first date or a person revealed it as their favourite, you'd be just like, nah, mate. Done.
Marley and Me.
Marley, I really love Marley and Me.
Well, I guess that's the end of it for this podcast.
What an abrupt ending. A surprise twist ending.
Thank you, Tom Saunders, for killing the podcast.
Why do you not like Marley and Me?
I just think it's... I suppose you have to have a dog to like it.
Yeah.
I think I get worried when people say they don't like films.
What, at all?
I was watching a programme called First Dates on Channel 4.
Right.
And a bloke was talking to the girl on it. She said she doesn't really like... She said... That she didn't like films.
Mm.
Just didn't.
Just any film. The medium. She didn't like the medium of film.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
No, I don't really. But then you get people who don't listen to music at all. You know, their entire lives. They don't own a CD or put an MP3 on or any, you know, just like.
Murderers.
I think maybe. Maybe they're murderers. That would be good if we found out that was the link between all murderers and we can now screen for murderers.
How do you... I worry that without films and music, how do you... and books, how do you escape?
You buy things. Shopping.
Alcohol and shopping.
Well, alcohol is a form of shopping, isn't it?
Yeah, you're right.
It's a form of putting on a hat on your stomach, isn't it? It's like a hat for your stomach and your brain and your eyes.
A cloud. It's a cloud for your brain.
Yeah. It's putting yourself inside a bag. A lovely new bag of booze.
What is your deal breaker? What are your deal breaker films?
I would say if somebody thought Die Another Day was the best Bond film, I'd have a lot of trouble respecting them, I think. What else was absolutely rubbish? Now, you see, the thing is, when things are so rubbish, you can enjoy them for different reasons. You know, I don't know. I don't think I have deal breaker films. I mean,
genres. If someone said to me they like superhero films,
yeah,
I would just think,
as in they blanket love all superhero films.
That's their thing. They love superhero.
Yeah,
films.
Yeah. I do find it hard occasionally when you know. Actually, it's mostly with hairdressers, where they go, so did you see, you know, so-and-so the other day, he's like, yeah, he just got brilliant, wasn't it? It's like, oh.
I don't have those. I'm really pleased I haven't ever had to go to hairdressers.
Ever?
Well,
since
I was 20, since 21.
Your phone's locked.
Because you don't have that enforced intimacy of someone messing with your head. It's horrible.
It is a bit odd. I don't really like it. No, I don't know if I've got any deal breakers, to be honest. And the thing about Star Wars, I don't know. I mean, I'm not really interested in other people's opinions of it, which is a bit hypocritical for a man who has a podcast about his opinions on things. But I think it's probably the backlash is because the reviews were so overwhelmingly positive and there was a lot wrong with it that people probably suspected it was a bit Emperor's New Clothes. But, you know, I let it go. It came and it went, didn't it?
Yeah. You can only... It's not... Yeah, you wouldn't really ever go watch it again.
No.
I think there's a thing. There's two ways of looking at films. There's the walking out of the cinema film, how did I feel?
Yeah.
And then there's the week later, 2 weeks later.
Yeah, yeah, that's still lingered with you and you're still sort of processing.
One film that's really lingered with me, which I didn't especially like at cinema, is Everest from last year.
Yeah, you said this and that's really interesting.
I still think about it. It really painted that picture of Everest really well. A real linger of that film.
Yeah.
Holy shit!
What?
We've got a letter.
From whom?
From Al Fisher in Barcelona.
Barcelona?
Barcelona.
Barcelona.
And, I mean, this is incredible. I'll tell you, I'll read out. Hello, film fandanglers. Years ago, I was in a panto at school with your mate Dave McNeil. That's my mate Dave. Yeah, we both know Dave McNeil.
Yeah.
So if you want to do an accent, you can do his. Oh, I think I won't bother. I have big news. This past weekend, I have finally finished watching the entire IMDb top 250.
Whoa!
Yes. Don't ask me how I achieved this. Suffice to say that one time, Spain was the number one legal downloader in the world. And I have done nothing to salvage reputation. Through the experience, I've continued to buy as many movies as my meagre budget will allow. I subscribed to Netflix and I was stretching to buying one of your hoodies the other day. And I even stretched to buying one of your hoodies the other day, so don't feel too bad about it. At least until they throw me in the clink. Here we go. Top three English language films that I hadn't seen before.
Okay.
Double Indemnity was full to the brim with 40 minutes. I agree. That's a brilliant great film. Singing in the Rain made me like at least one musical. I saw it years ago. But
still not seen it.
Yeah. And The Best Years of Our Lives, which was frankly astonishing. And also Christine from Short Film Sunday recommended Best Days of Our Lives.
Yes,
so we should watch
right.
that soon.
Yeah, yeah.
Harold Russell's superb performance as Homer Parrish, a returning war veteran who has lost both his hands, is made all the more poignant by the fact that Harold Russell was in fact a returning war veteran who had lost both of his hands.
Wow.
He remains the only actor to receive two Oscars for the same role. He got he got one for Best Supporting Actor and one for simply being inspirational.
Really?
Well, I didn't know about that.
That seems a bit cloying.
Okay, top three foreign language films that I hadn't seen before. The secrets in their eyes was profoundly affecting an excellently acted Argentine drama. I think I've spoken about that before.
Yes.
It's on Netflix. It's brilliant. Three idiots from India walk the fine line between three-way buddy comedy and mortgage disaster without putting a foot wrong. I've not seen that. And Underground, a visual eulogy to Yugoslavia, which was a strange comedic horror show in which a central character is inexplicably followed around by an umpa band. Unmissable. There are lots of things on that list I did not like. The work of Fellini, for example, and it seems that a lot of people enjoy being skillfully made miserable by the movies. Now it's time to make a break from I can't read properly. Take a break from watching the films. All the best, Al. Well, that is great, Al. Well done.
And an IMDb an IMDb 250 game score of 250.
And P.S. By the time I finish writing this, two films have been pushed off of this. Another two added in the form of Elite Squad and coincidentally, the its sequel, Elite Squad, The Enemy Within, neither of which I've seen. So currently my score, according to your rules, is 247.
Oh,
that's the thing with the IMDb
Elite Squad.
I don't know how they're going. There must have been... Sometimes they get...
They won't
releases.
Be there for long, yeah. Will they? It's because two people will have given it 10. And then
I think it's... Yeah, everyone involved in the film.
Yeah.
An IMDb score of 250. Well, what an achievement.
Incredible. Let's applaud.
Yes. I would agree, Double Indemnity and Secrets in Their Eyes are great. Do watch those. We'll check out, I think we have to watch, The Best Years of Our Lives very soon.
So, following on from previous podcasts where we've talked about films you can find online, Netflix, Amazon Prime, Talk Video, whatever the hell Blinkbox is called now.
Talk Video?
Yeah, it's been sold. I watched another Ryan Reynolds film in honour of not going to see Deadpool, which is called Buddy.
What's happened to Buddy? He's got really thick.
He's tried to lick Marek's head.
What are you doing?
I watched a film on Netflix, damn, called The Voices. Now, the main reason I was attracted to watch this film was because I think it has one of the worst posters of all time.
Explain it to
which
me.
Is it's what clearly one of those posters where a graphic designer has been chucked like a tenner to shit something out really quickly, and then it's suddenly put on the side of buses and stuff, and it's Ryan Reynolds looking into a fridge with the severed heads of Gemma Arterton and Anna Kendrick in it.
I looked it up, and obviously there was another poster first of all
of him in a boiler suit.
Yeah.
That was the American one. And then the British one, for some reason, because they wanted Gemma Arterton in it, I assume, because she's a big British star.
Oh, okay.
They've just photoshopped her severed head into
but
a fridge.
They don't look severed at all because there's no blood and there's no...
And they're smiling.
Yeah. Is that what they do in the film? They're talking heads in the fridge.
Okay, well, I'll give you the brief synopsis. The voices...
Oh, before, sorry to interrupt.
Yes.
Why is it, you know, when you've got people straight face on a poster?
Yeah.
So if you, while you're listening to this, or you look up the voices and you get the picture up.
Yeah.
And there's Gemma Arterton's head on the left.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds is in the middle.
Yeah.
And Kendrick's on the right.
Yeah.
Why is it when they put the name at the top of it?
Yeah.
They put Ryan Reynolds on the left, then Gemma Arterton in the middle, and then Anna Kendrick in the... I mean, it just doesn't make sense. You just put them in this way that...
I have a theory about this. I don't have knowledge about this. The order of the names... historically, for decades and decades, has been part of a contractual obligation. So where your name appears on a poster and how big is part of your contract when you sign up to do a film.
Oh, because I've seen quite a few posters where there's like a lineup of people and all the names are in the wrong order.
And famously, Paul Newman and Steve McQueen... both argued they were the star on The Towering Inferno, and so they came up with this way of giving them both first billing, where one of them had their name on the left, which is technically first because you read left to right, and the one on the right was higher up, so technically was also first billing. And it was a famous contractual dispute where they had to come up with this creative way of doing
it
on the poster. Yeah.
I'm looking up now, you're right.
Yeah, so that's where it comes from. You even get this situation where, you know, when you get ensemble films and they've got, like, all of their faces equal size, like in a row.
Yeah.
And then the names, and they don't match up with the face. It's really weird. You know, where it's like, Alison Janney, and it's a picture of, like, Mark Ruffalo. It's like,
I always get those two mixed up.
You, Alison Janney and Mark Ruffalo.
A bit like Rams and Goats.
It is a bit like Rams and
Goats.
What's
the film like, then?
The Voices. Okay, what it's about is... Ryan Reynolds plays a guy who works in a factory, basically, sort of menial work. And he is a nice guy trying to be nice in a small town in America, but he does hear voices in his head which are manifest as his pets in his little flat at home. So his dog talks to him and his cat talks to him, but his dog's really nice and his cat's like Scottish and evil. And Ryan Reynolds actually does all the voices, so he does himself and both sides of his personality, basically. And it's an odd piece about how he actually accidentally murders two people and then has to dispose of their bodies, but he's still really nice and he likes them and he didn't mean to. And it's a sort of dark comedy, I suppose.
Funny?
Not really. Like, it's watchable, but then it's not actually, by the end, about anything. As in, you know, you've got the story and then you've got what it's actually about. And there isn't another dimension to it. It's just like someone's gone, what if, like, we do a story about the murderer and he's really nice? It's just like, well, then you're sort of ignoring the victims as mattering. And they're all women. And it's really weird that... Again, it's one of those films where you go, I don't really want to meet the writer of this. Because it's quite misogynistic that he just keeps cutting off women's heads and putting them in his fridge. And it's like, oh, but I'm a nice guy, really.
I don't really understand what's going on.
No, it's very strange.
How many Davids?
Oh, I don't know, like 4? It's not strong, really. But the poster gets it an extra 1 for being so poor. So 5.
Oh, that's all right.
Yeah, that's okay. It's average. That's an average film. Well, it's not average. It's in the middle. That's different, isn't it?
Yeah, you're right.
It's different things.
You're right.
I don't know what the average score for a film is, but...
Probably about six.
People tend to be a bit generous, don't they?
Yeah.
But the voices, it's not strong, but it is... It's a very weird piece. Like, Ryan Reynolds is always watchable. And I like Gemma Arterton as well. I think she's very watchable as well. She often doesn't pick very interesting films. But Anna Kendrick, I still don't really get.
Cold.
Yeah.
I do not like her at all.
No. Odd. But, Ryan Reynolds is very watchable. And he's got a passable Scottish accent.
Has he?
As a cat called Mr. Whiskers.
Oh, he does the voice for the cat.
Yeah,
as
yeah,
well,
that's what I'm saying. He does the dog and the cat as well.
Oh, well, that's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Good for his show reel.
It's that thing where they do the CGI cat's mouth moving, but it's done quite well.
I wonder if he got paid for 3 different parts.
Maybe. That would be probably why I did it then.
Yeah.
Yeah, he also wears a pink boiler suit, which I had to do for an advert for Vanish once. So I felt,
at least
quite close to him in that. There's only 2 that they hire out. So.
Wow.
Yeah. But there you go, The Voices, it's on Netflix, it's alright, it's a bit misogynistic.
If you don't like women...
If you don't like women, then you'll love The Voices.
That's a good tagline.
It is. So, it's one of those weird ones where it tries to make out that it's all very happy by having a song and dance number at the end, even though it's all... really bleak.
Miranda.
It's not as interesting as it thinks it is, and I think that's the problem, you know. It's just a bit of a mistake.
Well, don't watch it.
Don't really watch it.
Well,
that's enough for this week. We'll probably get round to seeing Deadpool at some point, so we can talk about a more contemporary Ryan Reynolds film. But if you'd like to get in touch and have your letter read out on the show, then please email us, dearfilmfandango@gmail.com. You can also talk to one another on Facebook /filmfandango, or tweet back and forth at us at Mr. David Reed, at Marit Larwood, and at Film Fandango. And also, we do all of this for free, and it's over 200 episodes now. So if you've been enjoying the show and would like to help it continue to exist, then please go to filmfandango.co.uk and follow the links from there, and all donations are very much appreciated.
Yes, thank you for anyone who's
donated. Thank you very much. And also, as mentioned in the letters today, we don't really bang on about it because we get almost no money from it. But if you would like some merchandise, go to redbubble.com and look for Film Fandango, and you'll find all sorts of shit there that you can get. Yes, it's endless shit, like tights, and framed pictures, bedspreads, you know, anything you want, really. It's not our faces, it's just logoed. But if you'd like that, knock yourself out. We'll be back next week with more films. But in the meantime, keep watching the films.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.